I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and I welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Walking by faith is not something you're just born knowing all about. It's walking with God. And when we say faith, we're not just talking about generally speaking faith. We're talking about faith in God. And there's always more to learn about how to trust Him, how to react and respond to Him, how to speak words of faith. Every day when you open your eyes, the right response to 1,001 things throughout the day is faith. No matter what comes up, you want to react in faith, which means not fear, not panic, not hopelessness, not depression.
That's right.
But the only way something good is going to come out of your mouth and come into your mind when you're hit with something challenging, you're hit with some bad reports, something happened you weren't planning on, some issues you don't even begin to know how you're going to come out of this. The only way that when that would happen, you're going to say, well, God's with us. He's always been with us.
Yes.
He's got us through things worse than this.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He'll show us. That's the only way you're going to think like that and talk like that is if you've had faith put into you.
Yes.
If you've heard things, if you've fed on things yourself, the Bible, communing with God, things like this, like Faith School. And that's why we have it, because, we have it in these, bite-sized 30-minute amounts kind of thing. And we have a lot of people tell us, I listen to one, I watch one every day. And you need something coming into you on a regular basis. Build it when times are good,
right?
Yes. When everything's going great and easy. So when there is a challenge, instead of you going, oh, what are we going to do? There's just no way, there's no way, there's no way. Because if you don't have faith in you, that's what's going to come out.
That's right.
No matter how good intentioned you are, when you're pressed and pushed, whatever's on the inside
yes.
is what's going to come out.
Yes.
When you squeeze the toothpaste tube, huh? Orange juice doesn't come out.
No.
Is that right? Huh? Ketchup doesn't come out.
No.
Right? Why? Because that's not what's in there.
That's right.
What comes out?
Toothpaste.
Whatever's in there. Whatever's in the tube is what's going to come out when it's squeezed. Well, when you're squeezed, pressure comes. Whatever's in you is what's going to come out. Not what you wish was in you.
That's right.
But whatever's actually in you, like Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And like the scripture said, we having the same spirit of faith, I believed, therefore have I spoken. Therefore, we believe and we speak. So Father, we pray again today, fill us with faith from your words, faith in you, faith in your ability, your character, your goodness, what you've said, what you've done. Feed more into us so that we are strong every day and we respond in the right way, in the faith way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we've been on this subject for weeks now, a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And one by one, we're giving 30 reasons from the Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say that out loud with me if you would. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Let's say it again together. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I know a lot of people don't believe that. And that's why we're taking so much time camping on this. And the issue is, what is your belief based on? We're telling you, how many scriptures are we giving for each one of these? And then you're going to multiply it times 30. Well, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. If you respect the word, this issue should be settled with you. That God is a good God. He's a God of provision. He's a God of abundance. And we've gone through a previous 13 of the 30, and we're down now to reason number 14. And that is, we are sure, abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, because God is the God of restoration. Restoration, the God of restoration. And we saw that this word restoration is the word shalom. And from it is the word shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. And the word shalom literally means to be completed. To be completed. Does God want us to be missing things? No. Holes in our life or in our, heart, mind situation. One thing that has become popular in some Christian circles that I want to challenge you about, if you've been saying it and doing it, and that is this idea and this confession that we are all just broken people. Have you ever heard anything like that? Mm-hmm. And there are numerous songs that talk about I'm just broken, and basically the idea of being damaged, being scarred, and people even talk about being, proud of their scars. If you're broken and remain broken, that implies God either can't make you whole or didn't want to make you whole. That He's somehow glorified by your having missing chunks, missing pieces, being scarred, altered from your bad experiences. But that's simply not what the Word says. I said, that's not the Word. That's not, Jesus said this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me. And one of the things He said He's anointed me to do, heal the broken heart.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, if your broken heart is healed, then it's not broken anymore.
Right?
Right? If it's still broken, it's not healed.
Yes.
It's not healed. I know years ago, my wife and I went over to some friends of ours' house, and they had a little girl, just a few years old. And when she saw us coming, she came running over to me, and she had a bandage on her knee that she had a bike wreck. And her mom had tended to it and put the ointment on it and bandaged it up. Well, she runs up to me, and she throws this knee up close to me, and she says, look, look. And she grabs the bandage, and I'm trying to catch her hand before she does it, but she's too quick. She pulled off the bandage and, of course, all the healing that had been going on, and she wants to open up the wound and show me how bad it was. Of course, it wasn't too bad, but, it was to her it was. And I'm laughing, trying to stop her from taking the bandage off, and the Lord prompted me. He said, pay attention. Pay attention to this. I thought, okay. He said, see, she has interrupted her healing and stopped her healing. Now it has to start over. Because she wants you to be impressed with the wound. And he went on to minister. While her mom scooped her up and is fixing this, the Lord continued ministering to me that's why His people don't heal up. Now, what if you came by and said, oh, man, you should see, my elbow and and that bike crash that I had or what. And you said, when did that happen? And you said, 1983.
Wow.
What would you think? Something's wrong, right? Right? This should have healed up a long time ago. And that's exactly what's going on when people, you know, something comes up. And maybe it was a genuine tragedy in their life. Maybe it was a cruel thing or a hateful thing that somebody did. Yet still, can God heal it?
Yes, He can.
Can He heal it? Or do you have to live broken?
No.
And you know, just identify with other broken people and sing broken songs. And be broken, but you're saved and you love God. And I'm not making fun, really. I'm asking you a question. Do you have to stay broken, or do we serve a God?
Yes.
Do we serve a God who really is able to restore to the point where you're not broken anymore?
Yes.
Huh? You are healed. We're still talking about this word restore because, you know, we said, the scripture said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in the third verse, He said, He restores my soul. Well, if my soul is truly restored, we said that word means complete, completed. And it's, you know, it's connected to the word shalom, peace, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Well, if I'm not missing anything, nothing's broken, nothing's lacking, I'm not a scarred, marred individual.
No.
Huh? I am completely recovered from whatever happened to me.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And I'm completely healed.
Yes.
I'm completely whole. Everybody say whole.
Whole.
And that's what the word completed is. Whole. Whole. What you do have to do, however, is quit talking about how bad it is.
That's right.
And you must forgive.
Yes.
You must forgive. Because if you keep bringing up what somebody did to you, you are, you know, we use this terminology, you are reopening old wounds. And sometimes, even if it didn't happen to you, the Lord will check you. You'll start to bring something up with somebody and the Lord will check you. No, don't bring that up. Why? Because you bring that up and it'll lead to this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they'll remember this. And you don't even need to talk about that right now.
That's right.
What you need to do is forgive, receive your forgiveness and forgive whoever and whatever they did and let the Lord pour in the healing balm and the oil and wine and let the Holy Spirit knit it back together and you quit talking about it and call it healed.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, right?
And if you will stop reopening it, retelling it, reliving it, looping, if you'll stop doing that and stop holding a grudge and stop feeling hard against whoever for whatever, if you'll just let Him cover it up, let Him bandage it up, let Him heal it up, next thing you know, you'll go weeks not even think about it. You'll go months and not think about it. And then you'll realize, I'm not hurting anymore. Hallelujah. I'm healed.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
There is no brokenness there anymore.
Right.
I want to pray for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. You are the God of restoration. You are the God who heals broken hearts, who restores the soul. We ask you to minister to everyone receiving and believing right now in Jesus' name. Everybody pray it out loud. Say, Father God,
Father God,
you are my Father.
You are my Father.
I am your child.
I am your child.
You are my healer. And I receive from you.
And I receive from you.
I receive forgiveness.
I receive forgiveness.
And cleansing.
And cleansing.
And washing.
And washing.
From every mistake.
From every mistake.
And anyone who has hurt me.
Anyone that's hurt me.
I refuse to hold a grudge.
I refuse to hold a grudge.
I forgive them.
I say
they owe me nothing.
No explanation.
Not trying to make it right.
They owe me nothing.
I forgive them that debt. And I ask you, Father, to forgive them. And Lord, pour in
to my heart
anything that's been broken,
that's been hurt,
and my soul,
and my inner being,
and my outer being.
Pour into me
of your Holy Spirit,
of the oil,
and the wine,
the healing balm,
the peace,
the joy,
the anointing.
I receive it,
and I receive my healing
so that I am no longer
broken,
damaged,
but you
have made me whole.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Is he the God
with whom nothing is too difficult?
Nothing is impossible.
So we just do not accept
that somebody's been hurt so bad,
scarred so bad,
that it mars them for life
and they can't be fixed.
Maybe they can't fix it.
Maybe nobody they know can fix it,
but there is a God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And what we just prayed matters.
And if you believed that
and released your faith,
the anointing is working in you
right now.
Yes. Right now.
Yes, sir.
Right now.
Now,
don't do what the little girl did,
right?
Don't run.
Open it up.
Tell it to somebody.
And
if you've been doing it in the habit
of doing that for years,
you'll have to watch.
You'll start before
you realize it.
But if you do,
in the middle of a
sentence, bite your lip and
go,
Nope.
No,
let's change the subject.
Not talking
about that. Why?
Let
it be fully healed.
Yes.
Don't reopen
old wounds.
Amen.
Is God the God
of restoration?
Is he
the restorer?
We've seen that.
Go back, if
you would, to the book of
Job.
We
looked at this
and talked
about
how that
Job
was so
blessed.
Living
large,
riding high.
He was
a godly
man, righteous
man,
healthy,
beautiful children,
rich,
multi-billionaire
by today's standard,
and
just in a few
days,
lost it all.
Lost
his
wealth,
lost his
security,
lost his
children.
His
marriage is not good.
His wife don't even want to
talk to him.
She says,
why don't you just
curse God and die?
Why don't you
just die?
That's
a hard thing to come
from your spouse,
right?
Why don't
you just die?
Well,
thanks for nothing,
you know.
And then
the enemy,
the devil,
is behind all of
this.
It was
his
wife
was speaking
the devil's
words.
Because,
that was that
very accusation,
word for word,
the accusation
that the devil
told God,
said, if he
loses what
he has, he
will curse you
to your face.
And so
he brought those
words to
Job's wife
when he was
at his lowest point
and
pushed her
to say them,
and she said them.
And
they hit him.
You know they did.
And
if you listen to
the rest of what he said,
he wants to die.
He wants to
accommodate her.
He's like, yeah,
I'm ready to go.
I'll be gone
soon. Don't worry about it.
And yet,
God had
another idea.
Right. I mean,
he had another
plan,
and it was for
restoration.
And
so
he's
lost his
wealth,
his
children,
his
health.
His body is in an
awful state.
He's in
so much pain he
can't sleep.
That alone will
put you in a terrible
place in a few days.
And
he doesn't understand
why
all these things are
happening. And
if you look at
the
scripture some,
you realize
Job
probably had no
idea
that the devil
existed.
There was
nothing said
about the devil.
And so we were given a behind-the-scenes look at what was going on, but you got to remember, Job didn't know that. He didn't see that. But we saw in Job 8 and 5 that if you would seek God, make your supplication to the Almighty, He would awake for you and make the habitation of your righteousness prosperous. Though your beginning was small, your latter end would greatly increase. And we said that's that word for restore. Here it says make prosperous. And another one says completed or restore. NIV actually says He'll restore you. Part of God's restoration is making prosperous again. And even though Job had lost it all, is God able to restore him everything that he lost?
Yeah.
And so we see that in, you know, when we read earlier in the week in Joel, when the Lord said, I'm going to rain on you. I'm going to rain, you know, double blessing in the same month. And he said, your floors are going to be full of wheat. Your vats are going to overflow with wine and oil. And I'm going to restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Lost years, consumed years, devastating years. This is some kind of good news, friend.
Yes, it is.
Is it God's will to do this?
Yes.
To restore to you things you thought you had lost forever.
Yes.
Things you lost because of your own dumb mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Would God? Could God?
Yes.
We see examples of it. Not once, not twice, over and over again. And so that's what in Job 8, that word is coming out, that it's possible and that you seek to God and He will. Well, without reading the whole book, if you skip to the end, to the 42nd chapter, God had shown up in a whirlwind and spoke out of the whirlwind. And if you earlier in the book, Job had gotten so upset and so hurt, he was accusing God of not being fair. And he said, I wish God would give me an audience and I could talk to Him directly. He won't do it, but, and He did. God showed up personally and spoke out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that's, you know, darkening counsel without knowledge? And I'm going to paraphrase, basically said, put on your big boy pants and answer me. Come on. You wanted to talk? You wanted to tell me some things? Here I am. And Job just clammed up, didn't know what to say. And you might say, well, you know, I'd have done differently. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. You. We'll see next time God speaks to you out of a whirlwind how bold you are. Anyway, Job just kind of froze, you know. And so God says, well, gird up your loins. I'll ask you some questions. And he asked him, well, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? And for chapter after chapter, God's asking him questions, and he can't answer a one. Were you here? Did you understand this? Do you know how I did this? Job's going, no. Always wondered about that. No, hadn't got a clue, no. And God's point was, if you don't understand any of this, how are you going to judge me for my judgments and accuse me of being unfair and unrighteous? And what happened is, you know, after this conversation, Job said, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I have said things I shouldn't have said. I repent. This was the breakthrough moment for Job. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
This is where everything began to turn around for him. And in the 42nd chapter and the 10th verse after this, it said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Part of that was he told him, you know, Job's repenting. He's getting right with God. He said, I said stuff I shouldn't have said. I was wrong. I repent. ask you to forgive me. I opened my mouth once, I opened it twice, but I'm putting my hand on my mouth right now. And then the Lord said, and your three friends, they haven't said the right things about me. And he told them, you better go ask Job to pray for you. And so Job did. And when he did, the Lord turned his captivity. And also, we keep seeing that. And, also the Lord did what? Brought Job back just as strong as he ever was. No. Not just as strong as he ever was. How well off was he before? He was the richest man in the East. Now he's what? He's twice. Twice the rich. Now, why am I talking about this? This is God's way. He doesn't just want to fix it.
Right.
He wants to fix it, get everything back you lost,
yes. And
take it to the next level.
Yes.
Is this him or is this him?
Yes.
Huh? He says, that was good. That was good. Yeah, I know you were worth $50 billion, but let's bring it up to 100. Come on. And you know, news didn't get around back then like it did today. But no doubt, you know, this was not a normal happening. Did you hear about Job? And the word would get around. Oh man, did you hear they took all his stuff? All his kids died in the same week. Did you hear about Job? Somebody said, yeah, you ain't got the latest report. You know, that was 6 months ago. Have you heard? Job is twice as rich as he used to be. He's all healed. He's great. Back on top again. Oh, hallelujah. So if anybody says, you know, bless your heart, you must be like a poor old Job. You should go, glory to God. Glory to God. Because as soon as I get out of this and repent for what I need to, I'm coming back to where I was and twice as strong as I ever was. This is the God of restoration. He never changes. He's no respecter of persons. Somebody say, that was his will.
That was his will.
That is his will.
That is his will.
That's his will for me.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Our time's up again, but come back tomorrow. We're going to see some more. We're getting stronger and stronger in the God of restoration. We'll see you soon here at Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.